This is Alive with Joseph.
Come on, give him glory this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy. Even as we are standing, let us appreciate our mom and dad, Pastor Joseph and Pastor Cordelia. We love you. We appreciate you. We honor you, men of God. Women of God. Amen. Amen and amen. We're going to be laboring under the title Wisdom in Action this morning. I'd like us to read from James chapter 3, verse 13 to 17 in the New King James Version of the Bible. If you can put it up for us, let's read together. Ready, read. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Even as we have read that scripture, I'd like us to go through it in the Message translation of the Bible. Guys, the timer is not ticking at the back. Verse 13 to 16, the Message translation of the Bible, it says, do you want to be counted wise? To build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Let that sink in. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the farthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish plotting. Whenever you are trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Verse 17 to 18 says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy fear, a holy life, and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessing. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its result only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. So the book of James here explains to us the difference between worldly wisdom and the wisdom that is found in God. The wisdom that we find in God. Because sometimes for us as children of God, wisdom is an abstract thing. It's something that we struggle to explain. It's something that we struggle to conceptualize, to say this is what wisdom is. So the book of James here explains the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. So we must understand as children of God that we are not wise guys. We are the wise. Right? We are not wise guys. You know, there are those guys who are wise guys, right? You know them. They've always got some cunning somewhere. You know, growing up, those of us who grew up around here, you know, we know those guys that will swindle you in the streets, right? We used to call them my peach, right? To say, no, I'm totally peach, right? For those who don't understand what that is, it's a robber who is in the street, you know? And they make you give them your things, right? They make you give them your things, right? I can give you an example. For example, I heard a story some time ago that guy, some guy I work with, he was shopping. He was in the shop. And as he was looking at shoes, somebody came to him, hit him on the shoulder and said to him, you know what? No, we have some, you know, good stuff, but I can get them out with the back door, right? So please, just give me, you see that 1,000 rand you have, give it to me. And then you go wait by that corner there. I'm coming. Right? So the guy hands him the money and he walks out the shop, he stands there. Obviously the guy got out because he doesn't work in the shop. But that is cunning. He didn't fight with the guy to give him money. He just handed it over. Right? So that is cunning. That is earthly wisdom. So earthly wisdom or fleshly or carnal wisdom is cunning in nature. It's not considered wisdom in the sight of God. Turn to somebody and say, it is not considered wisdom by God. So then it is important to understand that God does not see wisdom the way the world sees wisdom. God does not see wisdom the way the world sees wisdom. Remember that, it's very important. However, he does not discount that his children should walk in wisdom that he gives. He expects you and I to walk in wisdom. God expects us as children of God to walk in wisdom. What does that mean? The same way that we walk in salvation, right? You will believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. That's how you get saved, right? When you believe God for healing, how do you believe God for healing? You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So in the same way, God expects you and I to walk in wisdom by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. There are some people who say, hey, I'm the dumbest person ever. You know, I'm not good at anything. You are speaking contrary to the word of God. That's not wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31 says that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I like that first part. It says Jesus, Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. So you and I have Jesus in our lives. And by virtue of that, we are wise. By virtue of that, you and I walk in wisdom. You see, the challenge sometimes is that as Christians, we think because we are born again, we have become a lesser people. But the truth is, we have become a better people. Because the scripture says that Jesus Christ, actually it doesn't say Jesus Christ, it says Christ Jesus, right? Christos, Christ Jesus, Christ, the Messiah, the one who descended from heaven, the one who knows it all. It says he became for us wisdom from God. And because you have Jesus, you have wisdom. You see, sometimes we don't know that we have wisdom, right? Because how do you think these guys coming from abroad discovered diamonds? You know, we held diamonds in our hands as Africans, and we just thought, oh, a shiny stone. It looks so good, you know? And then, you know, I don't know if any mirrors were involved, but we are told that mirrors and cows were involved. But if you don't know the value of something, I'm trying to open your eyes to say, if we don't know the value of the Christ we have, you know, Jesus is not just there to make us feel good. You see, the things we learn in church, the things that we learn because we are children of God, the Christ we have, that is the very essence of wisdom. We'll see it even as we develop. Let's read together Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. In the NIV translation of the Bible, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we realize that the starting point of wisdom is centered in God. The starting point. So if you don't have fear, the fear of the Lord, you have not begun to be wise. You have not begun, right? Because the challenge is that sometimes we think that people out in the world who have money are wiser. They aren't. We'll see that even as we go. The Bible tells us that we begin to be wise when we fear God. So to explain the scripture for us, let us look at the amplified version of Proverbs 9:10. It speaks about the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. That's where we begin to be wise. Look at what it means by reverent. It says, showing deep and solemn respect. Right? That's what reverent means. So as children of God, we need to reverence God. We need to understand who God is. And once we do that, you become wise. Right? You become wise when you do that. So you can see that the believer is told that their relationship with God is where wisdom begins. Our relationship with God is where wisdom begins. But we'll see this even as we develop further. Because all wisdom flows from God, it becomes especially important for the believer to understand fundamentally that God is the source of wisdom. And for us to walk in it, it will flow from Him. Wisdom will flow from God. Turn to somebody and say, wisdom will flow from God. Turn to somebody else and say, wisdom will flow from God. You see, the challenge sometimes is that we don't know we need wisdom. And one of the prayer points we prayed this morning, very, very powerful, is that I will get the help that I don't know I need. Right? Because there's sometimes help that you need in wisdom that you don't realize you needed that help. Some weeks ago, Pastor Joseph said something especially critical in relation to wisdom, speaking about creativity, that God gives us raw material, right? Very critical. If you get that aspect, it will blow up your life. So, for example, God gave us trees, right? So we had to realize, we had to come to a realization. We had to have creativity enough to understand that these trees could become firewood, that they could become furniture, that they could become boats. Some people even made shoes out of them, right? You remember those old clogs, you know? If you're a lady and you are wearing those, boots on my back, all right? You remember the clogs? Or am I revealing my age? Right? So some people made shoes out of them, right? That is creativity at work. So if you are a believer and you are praying for firewood, if you are a believer and you are believing God to give you a boat, we'll see it. It's in James. It says, if you are lacking in wisdom, ask of God. So the challenge is that we then begin to pray for firewood. But God says, God points us to the tree. So another example is that when I meditate about what Pastor Joseph said to us, I realized that some people even sell us what God has already freely given us. For example, the packaging is creative because of wisdom. For example, air and water. How many of us buy bottled water? God gives us the water for free, but somebody was creative enough to bottle it. Give it a nice name. Right? And then when you drink it, you think, oh, my English will improve, you know. Right? This water will improve my English, right? Willie's water, right? So people sell us fans, air conditioning units, but they never created the air. The aircon units that we have in the church, we buy them to bring air that God made for free. But we bought them, right? So another thing is that bottled water is given to us. Water is created by God, but somebody just bottles that water, right? Okay, because we are used to this, because it's something that we live with, maybe let me sell you a concept of something that might open up your eyes to the wisdom that people have been given and therefore creates creativity and innovation. What if somebody came to you and sold you bottled air? Right? People do that. They sell bottled oxygen to the hospitals. So it's just showing that God gives the raw material. But wisdom out of those very raw materials can extract the very things that you need. Right? Let me try to push your mind further. What you need is money. Right? But that's not true. It's not money that you really need. What you need is the wisdom to become creative and innovative so that the money flows to you. Right? Come on, give God praise right there. And the challenge then becomes to us that our eyes need to be open to say, God, what raw materials have you made available for me to access the money that I want? Right? Because a lot of people in the world, yes, they use cunning. Yes, they use ways and means to get that money. But you and I, child of God, need to become wise and sophisticated with the level of creativity that we function at so that wisdom can take us further in our faith. I'd like us to look at wisdom in action as a second part of what we're studying today. Because the first part, we just looked at what wisdom is and what wisdom isn't, right? So wisdom isn't cunning. The wisdom of God allows us to say we fear God. That's the starting point, right? We don't become cunning. What we do is we understand what the wisdom of God is and what it can give us access to. So let's switch gears and see how God wants us to benefit from wisdom in practice, in the real world, right? So that this concept of wisdom is not something that's just abstract, something that we just pray and say, God, give me wisdom. When you say, God, give me wisdom, what are you asking for? I'll say that again. When you say, God, give me wisdom, what are you asking for? Because it is an abstract thing that we as Christians struggle to conceptualize, practice in our lives so that it becomes real. So wisdom is on the tongue. Turn to somebody and say, wisdom is on the tongue. The Bible says that God will give us wisdom. So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 1 Kings 10, verse 3 in the King James Version. It says, talking about Solomon, it says, so Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Right? So Solomon was so wise that when the Queen of Sheba came and visited him, when they had difficult conversations, he was able to answer her. The Bible says nothing was so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Right? So wisdom is something that sits on our tongue. Our speech, the way we speak, the way we say things, reflects our wisdom. Turn to somebody and say, your speaking reflects wisdom. So the things we say reflect wisdom. And it is important because God will bring you before important people. And the things you say in the presence of important people will either elevate you or cause them to think you are a commoner. You see, the things that we say represent the things that we think. Therefore, it is always important for us to speak in wisdom, right? Because when you speak in wisdom, you engage the mind to say, in a scenario of this nature, what do I say and what do I not say, right? So it is important for us to engage wisdom in that way. Because sometimes when God wants to promote us, we come into a situation and we say the things we shouldn't. Or we don't say the things we should say. Last time when I had the privilege of standing before you in similar manner, I said to you that it is important that when you come into a boardroom setting of some nature, you speak. Say something. Because the wisdom of God is upon you, child of God. There is something that you need to say so that those around you can realize the way this one thinks, the way this one speaks, there is something different. Now, the difference that we begin to notice is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So never hide it from others that you fear God. So never be in a situation where you are scared to say that you don't have to say you are a believer, but act a believer. Be a believer. That is the beginning of wisdom. Then comes the situation where you begin to speak. Wisdom sits on your tongue. Isaiah 11 verse 2 in the King James Version says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It says the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3 continues to say, Isaiah 11, and shall make him of quick understanding, right? In the fear of the Lord. You see, it comes up again. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Powerful verse, that one. Verse 3, let's read it again. It says, and shall make him of quick understanding. When I looked at that word understanding there, it says to smell, to anticipate. So you will be quick to anticipate things. That is wisdom. If you look at the book of Proverbs, it talks about the wise. It says the wise see danger coming and avoid it. But the simple walk on. And they are punished. Right? The symbol, they walk on and they are punished. You can see that gate is open. You can see there's a big dog there. If you are simple, you walk on. You'll be punished. Right? But what we understand here is that that word understanding says quick understanding. So you're quick to smell, to anticipate. Right? In the fear of the Lord. And then it says, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. The word judge is to pronounce sentence. Right? So you should not just speak what you see. Right? That is not wisdom. You should not just speak what you hear in your ears. You know, there are some people, if they hear gossip, they repeat it. They believe it's the truth. They speak what they hear. So it is important for us to not judge after the sight of our eyes and after the sight of our ears. What does that mean practically? To say, if circumstances in your life are contrary to what the word of God says, do not pronounce them. It is not wisdom to say what you see with your eyes. It is not wisdom to agree with the circumstances you find yourself in. Because we are a people of faith. And a people of faith walk in wisdom. They don't speak what they see with their eyes, what they hear with their ears. Because, you know, your mind is not going to understand it. It is your spirit that's going to understand it. Right? Your mind is going to say red card, you know. And then your spirit is going to say VAR. No. Right? Your mind is going to say handball. Your spirit is going to say ball to the hand. That's, right? I'm using those concepts to help you understand that your mind might be looking at something and see trouble. But your spirit should be learned to a point of saying, I don't see trouble. I don't see a challenge here. You must speak and say, I declare that I don't see. You don't speak contrary. You see, the thing with faith is that you need to say what you believe. You mustn't say, I don't see this. No, you say what you want to see. Right? That is wisdom in operation. That's how we operate the wisdom of God. So it is not wisdom to agree with the things that you see in the natural. Right? It is not wisdom to say what God is not saying. It is wisdom to say what God is saying. Right? So it is important for us on our tongue to have the word of God so that we always speak that. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. So wisdom is your way of life. Right? 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 4. We touched on verse 3. We continue. Wisdom concerning King Solomon says, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and the entryway to which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. So the things she saw, the way of life that Solomon had reflected his wisdom. So yours and my way of life should reflect wisdom. Right? So there are certain things about your life that you must question and say, is this wise? Is there wisdom in the way I'm conducting myself here? So imagine this queen comes, sees the way that Solomon is living, and he realizes, wow, no, this guy, the level of wisdom is high. Right? I'd like us to go deeper into this and look at why this reflects wisdom. So God grants us wisdom to live life intentionally, not to float through life. Right? So when you plan your life, you are living intentionally. Right? Pastor Sean taught us some time ago, number your days. Right? So if we were to talk from a plan point of view, is to say, okay, fine, I'm planning to live to 75 or to 80 or to 90 or to 100, right? Whichever one you choose. And then you start planning backwards to say, by the time I'm 90, how do I want to live? So by now, I should have reached these milestones so that they can help me reach whatever goal I want at the age of 90, right? So planning shows us that we live life intentionally. It shows wisdom. So we saw the same with Adam in the book of Genesis. The thing done by Solomon, we see the same by Adam in the book of Genesis. You remember some time ago, Pastor Ike taught us about how Adam called and named the animals, and that is what they became, right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, in the King James Version of the Bible, verse 19 says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them," so God brought them, these animals, "unto Adam to see what he would call." You see, there's a difference here between calling and naming. So God brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, right? So that word call is to properly address, to cry, to proclaim, to pronounce, to publish, right? So he wanted to see, what is Adam sinking? This is what Pastor Ike taught us some time ago, right? To say, this Adam, when I bring these animals, is he synced to heaven? Is he able to say from his spirit, not his mind, from his spirit, is he able to cry out and say, "Oh, dog, cat," right? Because he syncs with heaven and then he calls them. He pronounces. He properly addresses. Oh! You know, properly addressing means that you are able from the realm of the spirit to pull down what God says and declare it in the earth, right? You're not just saying what you think is proper to say in that situation. So that is where wisdom comes in. That God wants us to pull from the spirit and speak into this world, not what we think is proper to say, but to call. Right? And it continues to say that, "And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Verse 20, "And Adam gave names." You see, before he properly addressed them, now it says he named. That word names means that he gave them position. He gave them honor. He gave them authority. He gave them character. What does that have to do with what Solomon did? Solomon, when he put his servants in place, he said, "You, supervisor. You, answer. You, manager." Right? So this is what Adam did here. He gave them positions. He operated in wisdom to understand that this one, manager. Oh, lion, you will manage the impala. Oh, impala, you will manage the grass. Oh, so Adam gave them names, right? After he called them, right? So to the cattle, he gave names. To the fowl of the air, he gave names. So he operated in wisdom with his tongue, right? So yours and my tongue should operate from what the Spirit of God is telling us, right? So what we understand from this is that our environment is waiting for us to speak, to call, to name through wisdom what we want to see, what is important in our lives. So wisdom is to download a word from the Spirit. It's to download from the realms of the Spirit a word and to declare it and to live it, right? So it's important for us to say the things that we speak should become important. It's important for us to say in the way that we live, we must reflect wisdom. So you can understand, Adam didn't stay in a house like you and I. So he was able through wisdom to live with those animals. We won't have the time to go into it. But when you continue with that scripture, you realize that after Adam called the animals, after Adam named them, it says that, "But there was found no companion for him." Then it continues to say that then God created Eve, put Adam into a sleep, created Eve, right? That's why when Eve came into the picture, Adam had to speak and say, "Flesh." We don't have the time for that. But he could understand that none of these animals were his wife. He was able to understand the situation to say, "I can't call and name any one of these wife." But when Eve came into the picture, he was able to name and say, "Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, this is the one." So, child of God, if you are believing God for a wife, for a husband, begin to speak it and say, "I have a husband. I see you coming, husband. Husband, you're going to be looking for me." Speak it and don't be scared. Oh, hallelujah. Let's close. Let's try to land this plane somewhere. Even as we talk about requested wisdom, we talked about this. James chapter 1 verse 5 in the King James Version of the Bible. It says, "If any of you lack wisdom, lack. That word lack, when you study it, you realize that it talks about if any of you leave or forsake wisdom. When we read the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom and it says you should not forsake her. Right? So James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you leave wisdom, if any of you forsake wisdom, it says, let him ask. That word ask is call for, crave of God. So ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, right? So that means wisdom was with you. You decided to forsake wisdom. You decided to leave wisdom. That's why I say Jesus has been made unto you and I wisdom. So when you and I forsake Jesus, when you and I leave Jesus, we become less wise. Our decisions become less wise, right? And so when you forsake and when you leave wisdom, it says we should call for, so we should ask of God that gives liberally to all men. We're going to land the plane soon, but that word ask actually there, it talks about, when you study it, it says that the wisdom is in proximity to God. It's close to God. And we know that the Father and the Son are one. That's what the book of James says, right? So we look at also what King Solomon did. It says in 2 Chronicles 1 verse 10 that Solomon asked, now give, right, me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out before your people and govern them or judge them with wisdom. That word give, when Solomon says to God, now give me wisdom, the word is assign, appoint, charge and commit, right? So assign to me wisdom, right? He says, give me Jesus that I may become wise. So Solomon says, give me a person who can be wisdom, who can be knowledge, so that I am able to judge your people. So it is important for you and I to call wisdom our own. It is important for you and I to live what God has called wisdom. When God says give, you give. When God says pray, you pray. When God says read the word, that is wisdom. So believe for a deeper level of wisdom and understanding in your life. Amen. Let's stand to our feet even as we pray this morning.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.